Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Accessibility Innovators Chat that we are hosting today to celebrate Global Accessibility Awareness Day. We are really super excited for the coming 4 hours and honored to have so many brilliant innovators with us talking today about accessibility. And maybe more importantly, thank you so much for everyone who tuned in today, who is here with us. We will make sure the chat will be informative and inspirational, but most of all, a lot of fun for everyone. Let me first quickly introduce myself. My name is Ilse Velema, and I will be your host for today. Hello. And I am head of marketing and growth at Envision. And with me, I have our talented CEO, co-founder Kartik Mahadevan.
Hi, everybody. I'm super excited to be here, and I'm super excited for this day. So yeah, let's get this going.
Yes, so we'll make sure we have time for any question you may have after every chat today. So please keep them coming. You can put all of your questions in the Q&A section in Zoom, and we'll make sure to get the people in with the questions for that topic. Let me start with our first chat. With me, I have Amar Jen. He is a qualified advocate and an accessibility professional from India. Haruka Taniguchi, he is an accessibility enthusiast from Japan. And then we have Jesse Wienholtz, an accessibility expert and also active dragon boat racer from the Netherlands. Welcome, guys. Super happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, let me just start by asking you, can you explain a little bit about yourself? And we are really, really interested in hearing what is accessibility to you. I would say Amar.
Sure. Thanks, Ilse, for inviting. And thanks, Kartik and everyone. So I'm basically from India, and I'm a corporate lawyer. I work in capital markets, but as I realized, as a sophisticated profession like law, and where I have to deal with complex data and complex sort of user interface components, I needed to learn accessibility so that I can talk to businesses at the one hand, and I can talk to developers. So that's how my journey of accessibility started, and then I did the CPWA, which is Certified Professional in Web Accessibility. So. Professionally, I'm a lawyer and also now certified professional in web accessibility. I think to me, accessibility is about ease of use of any sort of product, service, or environment which we create.
Yeah, perfect. That sounds great. And great that we have you here. It's very valuable.
Thank you.
Haruka.
Yeah.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm good. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you perfectly fine.
Thank you.
So accessibility. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what is accessibility to you?
Okay. Is it my experience?
Yeah.
Okay. In my case, I walk around many places to use smartphone or other supporting equipment, not getting someone's help. I really love to travel while Japan. However, sometimes I hit walls and like gutters, bumps when I walk by myself. If any other applications help tell me what they are all on my way by voice, I can work freely and enjoy my trip. Yeah. Then such a equipment is accessibility for me.
Yeah, I get it. So really basically moving around from treadmill and whatever you do, just do it yourself without any help from anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you so much. And Yessa.
Yes, that's me. Hi.
I already introduced you a little bit, a fanatic dragon boat racer, but tell me a little bit about yourself and what accessibility is to you.
Thank you, Ilse. So my name is Jesse, and I am a student studying business and IT management here in the Netherlands, and also accessibility enthusiast and user of accessible products for my whole life, which actually started when I was a little kid and found out that computers and smartphones were actually a very useful tool for me, a tool that helped me gain more independence. And that's also the reason why I started studying IT, because I really like making this difference in accessibility. And the Dragon Boat Racing, actually going to do that later tonight after the Accessibility Innovators Chat. So two things to look forward to today, which is one of the most accessible sports that there are, as far as I know, for blind or visually impaired people. And it's really enjoyable to be out in the water and enjoy water sports. So
that's good. And if I hear correctly, you're basically studying right now to be a real expert in accessibility and accessible design.
So my goal is when I finish my studies is to combine my IT knowledge, my business IT management knowledge, with my personal experience and knowledge in accessibility. To combine those two to really work on a more accessible and inclusive future, because accessibility might sound like something that companies have to implement, and it might be hard for them, but actually for me it's more like tools that make the lives of people easier, not harder.
Very well put. I have, because it's Global Accessibility Awareness Day today, and I have a question, and I think, Amar, I would love to hear from you. So how important is inclusive design or accessibility in India, and after that Japan? Like, how is it in your country specifically?
Sure. So before I answer that question, let me give you a bit of a background on how this whole conversation started, really.
Yeah.
So till 2008, we had no concept of accessibility, so to speak. In 2009, for the first time, when the government of India was developing its own guidelines for the websites, and that too for government websites very specifically, that was the first time when we spoke about accessibility. That happened because India became signatory to the United Nations Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And till 2016, we had no statutory backing to accessibility, so to speak. It was only in 2016 when the law came into picture, the new Rights of Persons with Disabilities Act, which made it mandatory for both public as well as private service providers to make things accessible. Since then, while things have definitely improved, and if I compare it with, say, 90s or early 2000s, things have definitely improved. But in India, accessibility is still, if I compare it with developed countries like US or other developed countries which are doing very well on accessibility, we are yet to pick up.
Yeah. Wow, that's a whole history. I have to be honest, I feel that there's a different history for every country.
That's right.
But it's really great to hear that the country, the government is really taking part into making it better for everyone.
I think one thing which I would like to very quickly add over here is that if you see all across the world, the way accessibility has been pitched in or pushed into has been through advocacy efforts.
So it's almost the democracy.
Yeah.
Wow. And Haruka, for you, in your country, do you feel that the government takes part into what is being done for people so that everything is accessible?
Talking about like inclusive or accessibility, many schools study to use ICT as a like inclusive education. Then I started to work at handicapped school for blind people. In my school, I have this PC classroom. Then I use the screen reader for the computer.
Yeah.
Then if I like teach the how to use computer or like screen reader, many students can use them and do a lot of things without like without having handicap or visually impairment, something like that. So it's like a key to expand our world, something like that.
So it's really the tools and everything you can use, but also in your work that makes things accessible.
Yeah.
And what I'm really curious. So we're at Envision, we're talking a lot about the future of innovation, the future of accessibility, technology. What do the three of you think right now is the most innovative technology that you're most excited about at this point? Like, what is out there that really makes you excited?
So a very interesting question. I think I would like to name a few. I think there are a few trends that I see in the accessibility landscape. And that's, first of all, that accessibility is becoming more mainstream. It's becoming more of a preference for the user than an assistive technology. You see that, for example, with the bigger companies, Microsoft, Apple, Google, they really market accessibility services as a preference for the user instead of some accessible technology that's hard and that's a challenge. For like the real technologies that I'm really looking forward to would be AI technology and voice. Those two technologies, probably a lot of blind and visually impaired people are already using voice interfaces and AI technologies to help them translate vision into spoken words. Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely going to grow and that's definitely going to get big. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And Amar, with the amazing, basically, increase in awareness for accessibility in India over the past decades, how do you see the future of accessibility?
So I would answer it in two parts. One part would be that if you see technology is becoming, day by day, technology is becoming more inclusive, because it's just a very simple example. Previously, we used to have technology which is working on a particular language, in a particular setup. You had to use keyboards or other things. Now, for example, my co-panelist, Jesse, gave example of voice-based technology, NLP, and all of that. So technology itself is bridging those barriers. It's allowing, so for example, today, if I don't know how to type or how to write, I can still use my voice dictation and I can get things done, right?
Yeah.
Or the same way, so technology that way is becoming sort of inclusive. That's one part of it. And as rightly put by my co-panelist, is that, big companies are definitely giving big push to accessibility. Microsoft Teams captioning is a very good example of that, for example. Or what we are doing with AI, for example, Envision is doing really cool stuff with AI. And there are other apps. So AI in that sense is a great potential and I see a great future there.
Yeah. And thank you for the compliment. We got a question here from David. I'm just gonna ask you, are the older people in India as tech savvy as the younger people? How do you see that in the future for them? Is that different?
So I think that's a very valid question. And I do agree in hindsight that while people at large of sort of older generation are not well equipped with technology. Mm-hmm. But as I said, that technology itself is breaking barriers for them. So I see, for example, my domestic help or say the person who drives my car, they are sort of using my father, my grandmother has extensively used technology, although not in the conventional way where how we use it, but with the help of features, with the features which keep coming. For example, voice dictation is a very good example. So with those kind of things coming into picture, people with older sort of age issues and otherwise also have been able to use technology, and they're really catching up because people are realizing the benefits of technology.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody has got their own interests. Somebody wants to look at it from religious perspective, religion perspective. Somebody else wants to look at it from education perspective. So people are gearing up to technology, and even older people are taking interest, keen interest, I should say, in learning technology.
Yeah.
So while there is difference, but it is not that significant considering how technology is bridging barriers.
Yeah, that is very interesting to hear. That's very, thank you, David, for that question.
Yeah.
I have one extra. So there are many people listening right now, and some people that we're talking with later today that are that work in accessibility, and they're building and developing products and services for people with a visual impairment. What is the advice from you that you would give to them?
Well, honestly, from an advice perspective, what is really important from an accessibility professional perspective vis-a-vis a business perspective, while accessibility professionals are doing good job and they are really great, because the challenge is that, you know, technologies get developed and accessibility comes as an afterthought. That situation is changing slowly. You know, accessibility professionals are getting involved right from the design stage. What is really key and what is really critical is to get people from the business side to look at accessibility as a business and not as a social investment or as an investment which provides an equitable platform. Once we start looking at it as a business, that's when it is going to get more serious. So to accessibility professionals, my only advice is, when you present it to a business, talk it from an ROI perspective or, you know, from marketing perspective, so that businesses take it a little more seriously.
Wow. Yes, that's very good advice. Yeah. Wow. And Yessa, what do you think about this?
Actually, I think everything that has been mentioned so far is very, very good. And one thing I would like to add to that is really think of accessibility as something that starts on the edge, starts with some edge cases, for example, people who are blind or visually impaired, elderly people, maybe people who are both elderly and blind or visually impaired, and really look how can you learn from those people, learn from your end users, and incorporate that into features that can be used by everyone. Because if an accessibility feature is useful to everyone, look at, for example, dictation. That might also be useful when you're driving your car or when you have your hands full. So accessibility is no longer something that's special for people who are blind or visually impaired or have some other disability. And also, to close it, really encourage users to give feedback from the very beginning. Engage users in your testing from your very first prototype, because that will really make you aware of what the users want and what the users need, and really design products that the users need. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to what the app developers and all the other accessibility innovators have to say later today. Yeah.
Well, so you would almost say that blind and visually impaired are the early adopters from AI and innovations like that.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. For example, look at things like Siri or Google Assistant. If I look at myself and at other blind people here in the Netherlands, I think most blind people have been using things like Siri since the very beginning. And now you actually see Apple, Google, Microsoft really focusing on voice input, voice output, voice interfacing. And I think the same goes for AI. We've been using that as an assistive technology, and now it becomes mainstream.
Yeah, you're right. Wow.
I would just like to add a bit over here with what Jesse said.
Yeah.
So the simple point which I'm trying to make is that, you know, even people with other disabilities, for example, learning people with learning disabilities have really benefited with these kind of interventions like Siri or voice assist features. People with learning disability, people who have autism, they have also greatly benefited by these features. So, and look at it other way. Right? Co-panelist Jesse very rightly said that, you know, accessibility is for everyone. So if you take example of Google Maps, for example, when the voice-based guided navigation came in, it was actually meant to help people with blindness, and it was not actually meant for people on a day-to-day uses for everyone. But today, I don't think any one of us can imagine driving a car or getting from sort of point A to point B without Google Maps. So accessibility really has become that sort of norm and day-to-day affair.
Yeah. Wow. And on the practical note, I'm getting a question here, which is quite interesting. I'm an app developer from Indonesia. What resources should I start with to learn more about accessibility of mobile apps? Is there something tangible that you can mention?
So I think this is a very interesting question. So a good place to start, I'm not sure if you're developing for iOS or for Android, but for both platforms, there's very, very comprehensive documentation. Google has a lot of accessibility documentation on Android and also has an accessibility scanner in the Play Store. And Apple has also has a lot of documentation. And also there's a website called applevis.com, which also has a lot of documentation for developers. And I'd also encourage you to go into your accessibility settings of your device and turn on the screen reader that you can find there to try to experience what the app feels like with assistive technology. Try closing your eyes and experiencing your own product through the lens of someone who is visually impaired. Or even better, watch how someone who is visually impaired interacts with your application.
Yeah, I think that's very valid information.
Just to add to it a small bit over here is that both Google and Apple also provide sort of one-on-one developer support. So you have, for example, in Apple, you have App Accelerator. They provide one-on-one support if you want to incorporate accessibility in your app. Similarly, Google has that kind of a service. So maybe you can even take advantage of that.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. One more question from Rodan. That's actually a very interesting one also. What can you advise to those companies who are not accepting persons with visual disabilities due to lack of accessibility tools or devices? So in some countries, people with a visually impairment disability are discriminated because
I'll take that question. It's a mix of both legal as well as the practical solutions. So first approach, of course, you have to be open to an attitudinally constructive dialogue. Go and tell them about your potential. Go and tell them about the potential which assistive technology has and the benefits which you derive out of it. Sometimes, yes, that doesn't work. And then you need to look into legal solutions. So which is why, and this is something I'm hoping to change, and I'm hoping that it will change in future, that today we look at accessibility as a compliance measure, or even giving opportunity to people with disability becomes a legal compliance measure. And that needs to change. And I think to those businesses, we only can take, legal solutions could be a way to look at it.
And Amar, I'm thinking, because you work in India, or can you also do the work you do there in accessibility internationally? How does that work in your field?
Sure. So as a lawyer, I'm not allowed to sort of provide legal opinion in relation to anything outside of India, because I'm only entitled to practice in Indian sort of jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. But as an accessibility professional, yes, I do international work, and I am entitled to opine and provide certification on international work as well.
And internationally, have you seen a big difference?
So again, I would say that it depends on country to country. So for example, in countries like US, it has, most often than not, if you see users going out and reaching out to them, accessibility is sort of taken care of, or they are a little more serious about it. But in some other countries where law is not that strong, or the compliance is not that strong, that's where we have a bit of a problem in getting accessibility pushed.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good one to work on in the future.
Yeah.
This is also pretty practical question from Suresh. How can I convince employers that I can be employable if they invest in buying me assistive technology? Of course, you have two questions here. Do they want to buy it? And also, how does that work? But mm-hmm. what do you think?
Can I?
Sure.
So something that I've experienced being a student and searching for part-time jobs, internships, where some companies were not so sure what to think of a blind employee. Mm-hmm. Few things that really helped me was explaining them how the fact that I'm blind was A, not an issue, and B, maybe even a positive thing. For example, it helps you look at certain accessibility questions from an end user's perspective that is hard to gain for a company otherwise. And also, if you have the right assistive technology, you can work as efficient as a sighted person. Yeah. And a lot of technology is also available in open source forms. For example, there is the screen reader NVDA for Windows, which is open source, which doesn't cost you anything. So that also might help employers to be convinced more easily because it won't cost them anything.
So you basically convince them by starting with something low cost, open source. So yes, it really works. And maybe after that, an investment.
Yeah, definitely. And I would also say at least 80-90% of the use cases, open source software might do the trick. So I definitely start there. Yeah.
Good. That's good to know.
You are from a marketing background and you definitely agree to it. When you show the benefits as Jesse rightly said, that for example, employees with disabilities have a low attrition rate, higher performance, better concentration, better business delivery. So all those also become sort of marketing advantage and marketing benefit in so to speak, right?
Yeah, you can use anything you have in your life, in your body as an advantage.
Yeah.
We have communicating. Yes, but thank you. Our time is almost up. I'm asking my co-host Kartik, do we have time for another question? One more question. Okay. That's a good one. What are your thoughts on accessibility in entertainment, like gaming accessibility? This question is from Ming Chung.
I think very good question. Entertainment industry and accessibility have developed over a period of time. They have evolved. So today you see people are talking about cinematic accessibility. People are talking about gaming and sports accessibility. So for example, FIFA provides audio commentary when they do the World Cup of a football championship. But at the same time, it's an evolving concept and it'll take a little more time to mature and come up to a level where we all can enjoy games and other things at par with others.
Wow.
So is there still time to add to this or will you copy off there, Ilse? So also I'm seeing a lot of development in audio-based content. Mm-hmm. For example, all the big streaming services have audio descriptive content, which is perfectly accessible for people who are blind and visually impaired. Also here in the Netherlands, you see that, services like Netflix, Disney Plus, they all have audio descriptions. And there's also a lot of demand for audiobooks, which are, of course, perfectly accessible. And those started as an assistive technology, but now you have services like Storytel and Audible that actually allow everyone to listen to those books. And you see also sighted people enjoying these. There are, of course, the audio games, as in actually PC and console games, But I don't see that much development towards this inclusiveness on that side. I know that a few companies are working on making mainstream console and PC games more inclusive. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen a lot of that yet. But I think that would be a very interesting question to ask to the guests later in this
show. Definitely. We'll take this to the next interviews we're doing. I want to thank you very much for your time and your information, your input. It's very inspiring and it's very good to hear from all over the globe what is going on and what is really important. And I hope to have you on for maybe a longer chat on another day, because this was really really good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Els. Thanks, Elise. It was absolutely a pleasure.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was nice.
Envision AI empowers blind and low vision people to be independent by speaking out the visual world in front of them. It is a smartphone app that uses artificial intelligence to read all kinds of text from any surface.